Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A pair of series happening Sunday night take front and center this hour. The final season of The Leftovers on HBO and The White Princess from Starz. Leftovers creator and executive producer Tom Perrotta joins me next, followed by White Princess writer and showrunner Emma Frost. And former New Kids on the Block member Joey McIntyre wobbles into the world of situation comedy with Return of the Mac, coming to Pop Wednesday night. Joey tunes up with us an hour from now. Also ahead, TV writers and producers deal take two, Something Marvelous at Amazon, and our next topic should be a question of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Nice to have you with us on this Monday afternoon for the program All About Television. 71 degrees at the top of the hour here in the New York metro area. Expect to go up to 80 or near 80 tomorrow, and we're delighted to have you along for this 90-minute ride. A lot of good people coming your way over the next hour and a half, and we invite you as always to be part of the program. It's so simple. Raise your voice, dial in, and here's the number you use. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers good anyway, you're catching us across the country, around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. Another way you get involved, our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick River from Philadelphia already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Tom Perrotta of The Leftovers joined us live from Beantown, Boston, Massachusetts, after these news notes. The Writers Guild of America and TV producers are back in discussions over a new contract at this hour. This round of deal-making is expected to last nonstop through Friday in Los Angeles under a news blackout. A first round of talks 2 weeks ago ended with a stalemate. The current guild deal with TV and film producers ends May 1st. If no deal is reached, the guild may go on strike, shutting down script work on current and future TV production. Amazon Studios is going forward with 2 seasons of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the new creation of Gilmore Girls producer Amy Sherman-Palladino. It's the first time Amazon has ordered multiple initial seasons of a piloted concept. One of 5 pilots now running for viewer approval, Maisel stars Rachel Flatine of House of Cards as 1950s New York City housewife out to bring in the local stand-up humor scene. No word on the status of the other 4 current Amazon pilots. And a few moments ago, we learned that Vizio, the popular TV set maker, has terminated its effort to be acquired by Echo, the China-based set manufacturer, is making some waves over the last year. However, they will have an agreement continuing to try to incorporate Echo technology into Vizio sets and for Vizio to be sold in China. And that's news notes for now. A lot of new television will be coming your way this Sunday night on various networks. And 2 of those programs are happening back-to-back, both with 8 episodes within an hour of each other. We're going to start with the second program first, the one running at 9 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time on HBO. It's the 3rd and final season of The Leftovers, which 2 years ago won the Peabody Award, one of the major awards in television and all of media. Joining us live from Boston, Massachusetts, the creator and executive producer of The Leftovers, Tom Perrotta. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Simon. Happy to be here.
And happy to have you with us, Tom. What's it been like to you and Damien Lindelof and everybody involved to put this final season together?
This was actually the most fun we had, I think. The show was really familiar to us. I think we hit a sweet spot in season 2, and we knew we were ending, so there was a kind of a nostalgic feel throughout. This season was just a lot of fun for everybody involved.
When we had you on 2 years ago, here you were, a novelist, one of the novelists getting into television because it's based on your prize-winning novel, The Leftovers. It's your baby, and you get into the world of TV. Now that you've had 3 seasons, where that's over a 3-year period, to do this series, what's your thoughts about television, about being in, really being in center, front and center in that world?
The reality of collaboration was really the story for me. That first year when we were adapting the book, I think, was a little bit hard. I think Damon and I were trying to find a shared vision for the book and to find a way to work together. And we did finally find it midway through that year, I think. And then we sort of finished with the book at the end of season one. In season two, we had a kind of a blank slate, and we started all over again, kind of re-envisioning the show. And that was really a wonderful experience, and that continued on into season three.
I want to welcome Ann Silva into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name, and glad you are listening in. If you have a question or a comment for Tom, get in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906, and we will take it from there. One of the TV critics seeing this third season from Deadline Hollywood Daily said in part that one of the things you accomplished was that you were able to end the show exactly the way you wanted. Is that a fair comment that person made?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that happened when we found out that we were going to have a third season, which we weren't sure about, was that it would be our final season. And so the entire show was built this year to lead to the destination that we wanted it to go. And that's not always how the writing works. Sometimes you create a situation and you kind of explore it and you surprise yourselves with where you end up. But in this case, we were you know, heading very clearly to our final destination.
Well, the first season dealt with this family in the outskirts of New York, and that's when we had you on the program. Second season, which is the season a lot of people really got into your series, was taking place in Miracle, Texas, brought a second family in. So take us through this third season and the process, not just, you know, how things evolved, but also the process by which you and Damien and everybody crafted this season.
Well, so season three is also a geographical reset. A lot of the season takes place in Australia, and people who've been watching the show will know that there have been various clues leading to Australia laid out through the two previous seasons. So I think, you know, Scott Glenn's character, Kevin Garvey Sr., left for Australia at the beginning of season two. So we already have one character over there. And a lot of our writing was set up to get the characters we needed over to Australia. And I would say that the entire first half of the season is devoted to getting our characters from one place to another so that everything is set up for the ending that we want.
And what starts to happen when they go there, to that continent?
Well, all I can say is the show takes place in the weeks approaching the seventh anniversary of the sudden departure, which is the event that is at the heart of the show. And in Christian theology, the rapture, which the sudden departure resembles, is followed by a seven-year period of tribulation. So there's just this kind of collective hysteria about possibly another apocalyptic event coming. And so some of the characters are in Australia because of their sense that an apocalyptic event is coming. And Nora Durst is there for a reason that has to do with an investigation that she has undertaken in her role as an investigator for the Department of the Sudden Departure.
Well, welcome guest 962 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. If you have a question or comment, get in the room or use our phone, 646-652-2906. And by the way, Ann Silva is going to, I think, join us when Joey McIntyre comes on in less than an hour from now. So thanks for coming in early, and stick around. A lot of good conversation with Tom and Emma from The White Princess, and then Joey comes aboard. We're delighted that you are listening to us. You've been blessed with a really outstanding cast. Scott Glenn, Michael Murphy, Regina King, who, of course, is once again doing it with American Crime, third season on ABC last night. Another great episode with her, Joe Garvey. You know, what's it been like? I mean, Brandon Hennig, excuse me, Chris Eccleston. Has the cast and you and Damien and your team have come together over these three seasons, how are their attitudes about faith, how are their attitudes about where they see this world going, how do they figure it into, A, their characters, and B, the overall tone of your series?
You know, that's a really good question. I think we'd have to have a panel discussion to hear about everyone's experiences. I know, speaking to Carrie Coon, who plays Nora, who is the character you know, most affected. She's lost her entire family in the sudden departure. One of the things Carrie says is that she's become a kind of, you know, magnet for people who have suffered a great loss, and they have invested a lot in that character. And I think as a result, you know, I think Carrie feels a kind of responsibility to her audience, because she's embodying this process of healing or of suffering that really matters to a lot of people. I know for all of us on the show, you know, we deal with such heavy, serious issues that it certainly feels like a responsibility when we're in the writer's room. But oddly, I think the other part of it is because the show can be so heavy, we end up actually having to laugh a lot just to keep ourselves sane. And that's one thing I've noticed is that there's a kind of light spirit on set and among the people in the show that is almost like a reaction to the heaviness of the material.
Tom Perata is the creator and executive producer with Damon Lindelof of The Leftovers. 2 years ago, won the Peabody Award, one of the top series to get that honor, one of the biggest honors in the world of media, not just television, but all of media. And the third season of The Leftovers, the final one, premieres this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on HBO. Tom joins us live, second time with us on the program from Boston, Massachusetts, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you, live from New York, 71 degrees at the top of the hour, gorgeous day this Monday afternoon. By the way, to all of our Jewish listeners, a very happy start of your Passover season, which begins tonight. And if you have a question or comment for Tom, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, and Silver Rick Webb, and guest 962 already in the room. It's Good Friday this Friday, and we got a great Friday coming your way for that holiday period. This Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, just to be live on the air with somebody very special, the terrific actress Mia Maestro. You may remember from Tango, The Motorcycle Diaries, and on television, episodes of Alias, and The Strain. Well, she's now involved in a new project for a series that just started called Outpost. It's a series that is run in English on Fusion TV and Spanish on Unimas, both from Univision Communications and both running on Sunday night. And Mia, who is born and raised in Argentina, goes back to Argentina in a segment or two, and she deals with the entrepreneurial community out there. And we'll find out what Mia is up to in terms of future TV projects. Mia Maestro, live with yours truly, right here, first thing Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, Internet Radio exclusive interview here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, what have you learned over the course of these three seasons in terms of writing television as opposed to writing novels?
Well, I've learned a lot from Damon Lindelof, who I think is just one of the great TV writers of our time. And one of the things that makes the show distinctive is that I'm coming at the story from a very realistic, novelistic tradition, and Damon is coming at the story from a kind of, sci-fi, thriller, kind of genre orientation, and he has really pushed me beyond my realistic boundaries, so that our show has gone to places that I never imagined it would go, and one of the things I really respect and admire about him is he's just a fearless storyteller, and I think just being in that context with him, I think has stretched me and made me see new possibilities in the stories that I tell. So, I would say it's not just television, but very specifically a product of working with Damon, who really is just, a true master of what he does.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned before about trying to establish a good level with the audience so that it doesn't come across as like so, while the series is powerful, that it's not always a downer, as some would like to say in the business. How do you try to achieve a balance where you still get the points you want to make across, but yet there is a level of humanity, there is maybe some humor, there may be some lightness amid the darkness?
Yeah, I think people will see that this third season is really the season that blends the most humor into the storytelling. And I think it was just a matter of, understanding the show we were making and seeing that absurd humor and silly pop music actually helped us tell the stories that we wanted to tell. They didn't break the mood, but they didn't break it completely, but they kind of gave us some relief. So we're learning a lesson that, you know, has been around since Shakespeare and even before, which is that tragedy requires some comic relief. And, you know, we've discovered that certain of our characters are really good at bringing some humor into it. You know, Justin Theroux has this great way of reacting to the craziness of the show that I think, you know, often makes me laugh. And Christopher Eccleston is just so intensely serious and oblivious to anything but what his character wants, that there's also something funny about that. And, you know, there's just a number of characters who have, Anne Dowd can be extremely funny in her, you know, ghostly incarnation in season two. So, you know, I think we just discovered that the show accommodated a lot more humor than we originally thought.
Is there a performance or several performances that now that you've been in the thick of seeing them up close really surprised you? Like, I never thought the character would come out that way when I wrote it in my novel.
Well, you know, I will say that if you go back to my novel, you'll see that Kevin Garvey, the character played by Justin Theroux, he's not a police chief, he's a mayor, and he's a very nice, sweet guy. And what he really wants is just for the world to get back to where it was before. He's really a kind of an uncomplicated, nice guy. And we started to change that right away when we turned him into the police chief, which put him much more into the heart of things. But, of course, in the show, he has become afflicted with visions and sleepwalking, and in season two, he it's very possible that he dies and comes back. It's a little bit murky what actually happens there. But we put him on this dark journey that the character in the book never did, and it's been really wonderful to watch Justin Theroux, you know, react to what we've given him and do everything that we've asked. It's just, he's just an entirely transformed character.
What really impresses you about the audience reaction to this series 3 years in?
Well, you know, I think we're one of those shows where we have an audience that isn't huge, but that is incredibly passionate. The people who love The Leftovers really love The Leftovers. And I think that's just really gratifying for people who are making a show that's this this dense and complex, that we have people who are willing to follow us and talk about it and think about it and, you know, beg their friends to watch it, even if their friends don't always take them up on it. It just, to have a passionate audience that follows everything that you do is just a really wonderful thing for people who are making a show like this.
And Tom, what do they say about, how do they react to your series in terms of their beliefs about faith or about the ability of where this world's going, or, as you said earlier, the mysticism or magic that can often pop up in this world?
You know, it's interesting. Someone was just telling us that young Christians in particular find The Leftovers extremely interesting. I mean, I think the show is made by a bunch of people who are not necessarily people of faith, but are interested in the phenomena of religion. But I think we do it in such a way that provokes thought and provokes discussion. And so I think instead of being a polemical or divisive show, it really appeals across the board to people who just have interest in the question of, you know, why do we believe what we believe? How do we hold on to beliefs in the face of a world that sometimes contradicts them? How do people who believe different things live together? It's a show that poses questions rather than provides answers. And so, you know, it will appeal to people who are interested in religion but want to have an open mind about it. I think if you don't have an open mind about religious questions, The Leftovers is not going to appeal to you.
Are you sensing, by the way, Tom, that we're seeing more television shows that do pose questions and not answers, whether it's American Crime, whether it's Shots Fired currently on, whether it's When We Rise, the series ABC did on the gay, lesbian, transgender community, or other shows where there is this sort of opening and like, hey, you, the audience, you're intelligent enough, you're brainy enough, you have humanity, you know, develop it the way you will.
Yeah, you know, I think as storytellers, we don't want to be to provide pat answers. I think we are trying this season to provide some personal closure for our characters, but I think we're wary of anything that smacks of saying, oh, there's no mystery to the world, that we can know everything about the world that we're in. And again, I think we've done a good job of signaling to our audience that if you're here for an explanation of everything, you've come to the wrong place. This is really a show about how people struggle with the things that they don't know and can't know, which to me is the human condition. We just don't know everything about why we're here and what makes a life worth living, and we're all trying to figure it out. That, to me, is the actual human drama, and the fact that our show tries to represent that seems to me, that's a serious undertaking rather than saying, we're going to explain everything for you so you can go to bed tonight feeling like everything's going to be okay.
The Leftovers, the third and final season, begins on HBO this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And again, 2 years ago, was the winner of the Peabody Award, which, by the way, this year will be happening at Cyprian's Wall Street on May 30th, and the winners will be announced later this month. Tom Perrott is the creator and executive producer of this series based on this prize-winning novel, and he joins us live from Boston, Massachusetts, half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appleman, we're live from New York. Delight Julius on this Monday afternoon of April 2017. If you have a question or comment, get in the phone at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. Whenever we welcome Christina Brown 2 into our room. That, by the way, is Simon Apple 04. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. A week from Friday on our program, Natural Geographic launched its first scripted series with Ronnie Howard and Brian Grazer at the helm. It's called Genius. And we will have the writer and co-executive producer of that program, Noah Pink. Also, we will meet a personality from one of the new series on Viceland coming later this month. It's called Beerland, and it's about the founder of Golden Road Brew, one of the fastest-growing independent brewers in the nation, and what she is doing with craft beer owners all over the country, starting in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Noah Pink from Genius, Maeve Gill from Beerland on Viceland, all coming up a week from Friday, April 21st, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow We Televise. Tom, we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from sunny Philadelphia.
Happy to have you, Sonny, and aboard with us with Tom Perrott. Go right ahead.
Hey, Tom. I'm wondering, since it seems like anything I've read about you in the past that you're described more as a novelist, so I'm wondering why you like when you wrote this book, you brought it to HBO first, and like why you were so interested in also like you're writing the novels but then making them into movies or TV shows. Is it because the money's better? Is it more exciting? Is it more calling? Or like what is it that made you not just be a novelist like a lot of others, but move to, you know, bigger things or other things?
Yep. No. Yeah. Thanks, Rick. That's a great question. The first book that I had that became a movie was Election way back in 1999. Alexander Payne made that amazing movie with Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick. And in a funny way, you know, it just sort of saved my career. I was a very unknown writer and my books weren't selling very well. And, you know, it was just a really great and exciting moment. And as a result of that, I was given the opportunity to do some to write some TV pilots. They never got on the air, but I really liked the process of adaptation, and started to try and write scripts based on my books. And finally, that paid off with the movie Little Children, which I co-wrote with the director Todd Field, and that was a great experience. And I love that movie, but I also felt like taking that book and turning it into a 2-hour film meant that a lot of the book got left out. And at the same time, like everybody else, I was watching this amazing TV, this just golden age of TV that was exploding. And I was thinking, wow, you know, I can take a novel and turn it into a 2-hour film, or I could, you know, adapt it into this much larger format, which would allow you not only to, you know, use all of the book, but actually to move beyond it, which we've done with The Leftovers. So, you know, I've always loved movies. I've always loved TV. I've never seen it as a sort of conflicting art with my novels. I see them as a really complementary. So, yeah, I went to HBO because I thought The Leftovers was just too big for a feature film and was really interested in exploring aspects of the world that the novel hadn't touched.
Cool. Awesome. Well, continued success. And I'll definitely be following everything and hope you write some more books, too.
Yeah, I will. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And thanks, Simon.
You're welcome, Rick. Thanks for calling in. Rick Rowe, our friend from Philadelphia, here on Tomorrow We Tell Us. And following up on Rick's question, Tom, we're now seeing a lot more novelists getting involved in the TV field. One of the latest we had on our program Friday is Philip Meyer from The Sun, whose Pulitzer Prize-nominated novel just became an AMC series on Saturday night. What's your sense about, because you have ties with the novel world, about the interest level among novelists and in getting involved with television? Is it higher or lower? Do you think because of the fact that you have projects like yours working that more novelists want to get in?
I think the level of interest is very high, as you can just see from all these different people who have done it. Part of it is just generational. You know, when I was in college, there was this sense that movies were, you know, a step down from books, and that the thing, the real writers, you know, they maybe their books were optioned, but they didn't get their hands dirty with screenwriting. I think my generation doesn't have that feeling that, you know, literature is a higher art than film. They're both, you know, narrative arts that have the potential to be really great. And I think there's something about long-form TV that feels extremely novelistic, and I think novelists are well-suited to that sort of character development, which is, I think, somewhat different from character development in feature film. So, yeah, and I think people will often say that something like Mad Men or The Sopranos feels like a great American novel. And I would just say that it's a unique art form, because if you live with a character for 5 or 6 years, I think that character just takes on a certain kind of reality that even characters in a great novel may not take on.
And more, by the way, Tom, you're hearing people saying on this program that when I'm shooting this series, I'm shooting it like either a movie or I'm shooting it like a novel. So I want that approach. As we wrap up, can we look forward perhaps to another collaboration with you and Damien?
Damien and I would love to work together again, so we'll just have to see if the right opportunity comes along.
Let's hope it does, because you've done so great with The Leftovers, and hopefully maybe another shot will come along in this wonderful era of incredible scripted TV. And incredible is the word for The Leftovers. If you haven't seen it, give it a try this Sunday night, 9 p.m. Pacific time. The third and final season premiere is 8 episodes on HBO. Check your local news for where HBO is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to HBO.com. That's www.HBO.com. Tom Perrotta, creator, executive producer of The Leftovers, pleasure to have you on again. Again, congratulations on the Peabody Award 2 years ago, and all the very best, not just with this final season of this program, but hopefully more adventures in television for you and your crew.
Thanks so much, Simon. It's been a pleasure.
Same here, Tom. All the greatest. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Tom Perrotta, creator, executive producer of The Leftovers, joining us live from Boston, Massachusetts. More Tomorrow We Tell Live coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Another big attraction coming to television, another adaptation I might add to, is The Handmaid's Tale. Big cast coming up on Hulu. And the narrator of the audio version of The Handmaid's Tale is none other than Homeland star Claire Danes, who wrapped up 6th season of that episode of that series on Showtime last night. And you can check out The Handmaid's Tale with Ms. Danes with a subscription to Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment and information. Over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you listen to them on any device, including wherever you are hearing this on right now at Blog Talk Radio. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audio book like The Handmaid's Tale, narrated by Claire Danes, and 1 month trial of the service, plus great customer service because Audible's own by Amazon.com. So give Audible.com a try and find out why it can transform the way you hear the world. AudibleTrial.com, televised. Coming up after the top of the hour, Joey McIntyre moves from New Kid on the Block singing to sitcom starring in Return of the Mac on Pop Network. And a lot of people in our chat room ready for that. But coming up next, from the new Starz miniseries and sequel to The White Queen, The White Princess, we'll be joined live in Los Angeles by showrunner and writer Emma Frost. She joins us live after we call it at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Kia D Unplugged show. Catch Kia D and crew tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can check out the best of BTR anytime you like at YouTube.com. Also, check out our program and other Blog Talk Radio shows through Apple TV at the iTunes Podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, get it at your local Apple store or order it online. Welcome back to part two of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday afternoon of April 2017. Simon Appleband will be with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us. If you have a question or comment for our guest upcoming in the hour ahead, give us a ring at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It's filling up with guests 962, 988, and Silva and Christina Brown II. You can put your questions or comments for our guest upcoming in that room, which you'll find our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Well, we're now going to talk about the second of two series that were spotlighted today that both premiere on Sunday night. The Leftovers, which we had in our first half hour, premieres at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Our next show premieres an hour earlier at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Starz. It is the miniseries sequel to a miniseries that ran 4 years ago in 2013. It's called The White Queen. The sequel is called The White Princess. And the connecting point is our next guest. She is the writer and showrunner on both programs. Joining us live from Los Angeles, another internet radio exclusive, Emma Frost. Hello, Emma. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Simon. Good to be here.
What's it like to get back into the world of those novels and do another white series?
I mean, it was fantastic. It's such an opportunity to write such strong female characters and tell the story from the point of view of the people who are so often excluded from history. The series is based on a Philippa Gregory novel of the same name, The White Princess, and Philippa researches the history meticulously. But, of course, in this period, there's so little known about the women. So Philippa digs up what she can find, and then she writes her novels. But what is amazing is to be able to bring to light these women and their lives who have been excluded.
Why do you think this program was very popular on Starz 4 years ago? What about not just the series, but the novel it came from? And unlike Tom, which adapted his own novel, you adapted an already best-selling set of novels called The Cousins' War for this. Why do you think it turned out so well for Starz?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I mean, I think there's a fascination with the royal family, particularly the English royal family. It's a very glamorous world. It's about celebrity. I mean, they were the celebrities of their day, and it was almost like the Posh and Becks of their day. They were these people that everybody aspired to who were slightly out of reach and would just live these very glamorous lives, but also very high stakes world. I mean, it's all about life, death, birth, betrayal. It's incredibly scary existence that people's survival can just turn on an instant, and they can go from power into being executed so quickly. So I think it's a very operatic, a very dramatic world, and also a very glamorous world. And particularly for the White Queen and the White Princess, this is an opportunity to see women forging their own destinies. And I don't think there's very many shows that really allow women to take center stage. So I think the audience, of course, is very passionate and fascinated by that.
Did you have any second thoughts or second guessing about coming back to do the sequel, given what you did with The White Queen?
No, not at all. I mean, for me, The White Princess was an even bigger opportunity because we start in a situation where the civil war that has torn England apart for very many decades is in theory now going to be over by the joining of the two houses in this marriage between Elizabeth of York and Henry VII. So the premise of the show is that the war across the whole country is now taking part within this one marriage. So it's a really exciting opportunity to tell a story about character, about psychology, about gender, and about power through the lens of this one marriage. So I was really desperate to get this show made, and also just to carry on making TV for a female audience and telling those strong stories.
So tell us about where the White Princess begins from the White Queen and how it evolves over, it's also an eight, just like The Leftovers, it's also an eight episode series. So tell us how things go and how they evolve.
Sure. So we pick up 3 days after the end of The White Queen. So we're 3 days after the Battle of Bosworth. And the unthinkable has happened. Richard III, the last York king, has been killed in the battle. And Henry Tudor, who will become Henry VII, has won at Bosworth, and he's now going to be the king. He is a rank outsider. Nobody in a million years thought that he would ever, ever be the king. He's a Welshman who's been on the run in France and in Flanders his whole life. He's not trained for it. Nobody knows who he is. And he comes to the throne, and the first thing that he does is he backdates his reign to say that he was king from the day before the battle. And that is considered this gigantic blasphemy, because at the time, everybody believed that God is present on the battlefield and determines the outcome of the battle. And so for Henry to turn up and say, nah, I'm changing all the rules, and actually, I don't care that you think God's on the battlefield. I'm going to say I was king from the day before so that I can say everybody who fought against me was a traitor. This is the most terrifying thing for the people of England. So it's a time of huge turmoil, and Elizabeth of York, who we call Lizzie, is forced to marry him because she's promised to whoever should win that battle. She was hoping it would be Richard III, who she's in love with. And instead, it's Henry VII, who she hates for a million personal and political reasons. So we're plunged into this story where Lizzie has to make a decision whether she's going to go along with this, whether she's going to fight it, and if she's going to fight it, what weapons she has in her arsenal to fight it. And so the story across the 8 hours is this power battle that is in the country at large and is between these two. And it's very much Lizzie's story as she has to evolve. And she's torn. Her loyalties throughout the show will be incredibly torn between two choices that are both really painful for her.
Harper's Bazaar has seen your miniseries, and they call it the feminist answer to Game of Thrones. Do you think that's a fair description?
Well, the reality is that the books for Game of Thrones are, of course, based on the English historical period, the Wars of the Roses. And that is the exact same historical period that Philippa Gregory bases her Cousin's War series on. So there are, of course, similarities because both are being drawn from the exact same events in English history. Game of Thrones is a fantastic show. I've got no problem whatsoever being the female counterpart to that. I think we're a very different show, though. I think tonally we're different. We're not in the realm of fantasy. We're very much about character, about psychology, about politics. So I think people who enjoyed Game of Thrones, I think, will enjoy this too, because it will give them a different facet of that world.
The White Princess is the sequel to the miniseries of 2013 on Starz, very successful one, The White Queen, both based on a set of novels that are bestsellers. And The White Princess premieres its 8-episode season Sunday at 8 p.m. on Starz. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. We've got the writer and the showrunner of both series, White Prince and White Queen, Emma Frost. She's live with us from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York this Monday afternoon. Happy you are aboard wherever you're listening to us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you want to be involved with your voice, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or put your words down in our chat room, SimonApple04 my name. We've already got Ann Silva and Christina Brown, too, and guest 962 and Rick Webb already in the room. Coming up later this half hour, we've got our clock trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win the Claim Special from Nat Geographic, Inside 9/11 on DVD. Learn how, know what our question is later before the top of the hour. was there any change in your writing style between White Queen and White Princess? Did you try to experiment, let's say, with a certain approach to, if not the the old plot, the whole plot, some of the characters?
I think the shows have a slightly different tone to them. I mean, The White Queen was an adaptation of three of Philippa's books combined. So it was The White Queen, The Red Queen, and The Kingmaker's Daughter. And I think it's probably fair to say that The White Queen was more about event. It had this incredible hurtling pace. And what I've done with The White Princess is it's focused around just one novel, and it's therefore been possible to just get, I think it's deeper in terms of character, in terms of the psychology. So I think there is a slightly different flavour to it. In terms of the characters, we are, of course, continuing the story of many of the characters established in The White Queen, but of course many of them died within that drama, so there's only a certain number of them who are able to come back as characters. But it's the next generation. It's Elizabeth of York is the daughter of Elizabeth Woodville and Edward the Fourth. So now we follow the next generation and the legacy that she carries through from her parents.
And in the next generation, there are three characters that play pretty principal roles. One is Lizzie, played by Jodie Comer. Another is Lady Margaret Beaufort, played by Michelle Fairley. And Dowager Queen Elizabeth Woodville, played by Essie Davis. It looks like you may have more to add. In this, we're seeing this incredible year so far of breakout talent. It seems like every show is popping, has a new talent that we've never seen before, or has very rarely gotten the shot to be having a major role. And it is. And it looks like your show may have three more to add to that list.
Jodie is already a rising star in the UK. She did a show called Dr. Foster, and then she played the lead in a BBC drama called 13. So she was very much on our radar. I suspect she's probably new to American audiences. But we knew right from the beginning we wanted to cast Jodie. We saw her on the very first day, and she's perfect for Lizzie. She has this sort of natural entitlement in the way that she presents. She's already a very consummate actress, and so she was exactly right for it. Michelle Fairley, of course, everybody knows and loves quite rightly from Game of Thrones, among many other things. Michelle was also somebody we wanted right from the very beginning. As soon as we knew that we were going to have Lady Margaret Beaufort returning in this series, Michelle was, I think, the only person that we seriously considered, and she's amazing. But we also have breakout talent in the form of some of the male actors as well. Jacob Collins-Levy is an unknown Australian actor, and we cast him as Henry VII, and we had the most incredible trawl to try to cast him. I think we saw 300 self-tapes in the end. It was a really, really hard part to cast because it had to be somebody who brought a sensitivity and a likability to what is, at the beginning of the show, quite an unlikable role. And he does quite a lot of unlikable things. And Jacob just brought this incredible sensitivity. And we flew him over to England, and he didn't know if he was staying for 5 days or 5 months, because he knew he was down to the last few actors, but he didn't know which way it was going to go. And Jacob is just phenomenal in the show. So it's been really exciting to have some new acting talent in the show.
One of the things that Starz has been known for is to put on shows either with strong female leads, like an Outlander, or shows that have ensemble casts that emphasize women and women of color, like Power, or have people behind the scenes, like yourself, who are in charge of making the show happen, like what you do with this program, The White Queen, what Courtney Kemp does with Power, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What's it like to do a project like this and have a support system like that, where you know that at the network you have people in charge who are women or women of color that can sympathize with what you want to do or can empower you to make this party the best it can be?
I mean, Starz are a fantastic network to work for, and as you say, they've already carved themselves out as the home of strong female programming. I mean, what I would have to say to that is that I hope that any network would be completely supportive of a female showrunner, of a very female crew, of a female project. I mean, the reality is we're in 2017. We should be in a world where it's 50-50, where there should be 50% of lead characters should be women, 50% of showrunners, 50% of directors. The fact that it isn't is really actually quite shocking, and it's something that I think we all have to try to remedy, because the audience is 50% female. So, I mean, I would hope it's not such an anomaly. I would hope that it is simply something that everybody understands should be happening, without us having to sort of look at it as being out of the ordinary.
Well, welcome, Shannon. Welcome to our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Emma Frost from The White Princess, coming on Stars this Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Get into the room. That's Simon Apple 04 by name. It's in our wonderful web homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Give us a ring, 646-652-2906. And what about with White Princess itself? What kind of diversity and inclusion do you have in terms of your crew?
We had an incredibly female crew. We had people of color in the crew. I mean, we had women at every single level, from VFX to stunts. We had an all-female writing team. One of the two directors was female. One of the editors was female. The art department was almost entirely female, under the brilliant production designer, Will Hughes-Jones. But again, I mean, that wasn't like we said, okay, we must make sure there are tons of women on this show. I mean, certainly in the UK, women are coming through at every level of production and the creative levels. So it was happily something that was also very organic. Although in terms of the writers' room, I made a very conscious decision that I wanted an all-female writing team, because this show is told from the point of view of the women, and it's about the women, and it is so rare to have an all-female writing team. That was a decision that was very easy for me to make. And I actually said to the British production company, if I work my way through every single female writer that there is, and I can't find enough good women who are available, then I will look at the male writers. Well, I didn't need to do that, because there are enormous numbers of fantastic female writers, and it was a real pleasure to be able to have a show that was just female driven. But I mean, you know, it is something that, you know, the 50-50 should just be normal now. And I think it's, you know, it's slightly gone backwards in recent years, I think, the numbers of women in shows.
You're working, as you did, on The White Queen with Playhouse Productions, which is run by a fantastic executive, Colin Collender, formerly the head of HBO. A lot of people believe he's one of the classiest in terms of programming, one of the class acts in terms of not just the eye for talent with shows, but also the eye for how you schedule them, how you program them, and so forth. How do you use an expertise of someone like that in a production like yours?
I mean, Colin is fantastic. He has such, as you say, he's got such a breadth of experience. I think that feeds in at every level. And, of course, his knowledge of the acting talent that's out there is fantastic. And I think it helps to shortcut how you reach certain actors as well. And also, Colin always provides a fantastic quality threshold. I mean, everything he's involved with is brilliant. I mean, Harry Potter, the stage play, just won a bunch of Olivier's last night. So he's a fantastic partner to have.
We're speaking with Emma Frost. She is the writer and showrunner of The White Princess. It starred sequel to its hit miniseries of 4 years ago, The White Queen. And it's another 8-episode miniseries coming your way starting this Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Emma joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York here on Blog Talk Radio. And coming up in our next half hour, yes, former New Kids on the Block member Joey McIntyre is getting into the world of sitcoms with a new series premiering Wednesday night on Pop called Return of the Mac. It's being partnered with another sitcom called Hollywood Darlings. Joey McIntyre will be with us live after the top of the hour. I know a lot of people in the chat room are just chomping at the bit to have a chance to talk with us either by phone or chat room. So hang in there. And I see that Shannon Wilson's in the room going, woohoo! So hang in there, folks. He is coming. That's going to be after the top of the hour. If you haven't heard, coming Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, the acclaimed actress Mia Maestro will join us. Some of you know her from Tango, other films like The Motorcycle Diaries, Poseidon. In terms of TV, she starred opposite Jennifer Garner on Alias on ABC a couple of years ago, The Strain for two seasons on FX. And now she's involved with a series that's now running Sunday night on Fusion TV in English and Unimax in Spanish, both Univision, called Outpost. Her role? Going to her native Buenos Aires and seeing what the entrepreneur scene is like. But there's more to come from her as well. Nehemiah Show, live with us. That's coming up this Good Friday, 3:30 Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively and live on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Emma, are you going to be doing another Write miniseries in the near future or via your account somewhere else?
Well, in the immediate term, I'm writing a movie for Jennifer Lawrence, which Ron Howard is going to be directing and Ali Sheema is going to be producing. And I think after that, I'm desperate to do something contemporary next. I've actually done 21 hours of period drama, all in a gigantic run, and I love it. But I think I'd like to flex a different muscle next. Although that said, there are so many more stories that can and should be told from this period. Incredible female stories. And if we were to go again, I think there's a great story to be told, where for the first time a woman of colour would become a central protagonist in the show as we move forward, because as we come into the later Tudor period, women of colour are becoming quite prominent at court, and I think it would be a fantastic opportunity to tell some of those untold stories.
What kind of contemporary work do you want to do? Sky's the limit. You have so many networks you work with. Stars, of course, now under Lionsgate, certainly looking for more material. Where do you want to go?
I'm so sorry, I didn't hear the question.
I was saying, what kind of contemporary TV work do you want to do? And I mentioned that Stars, of course, Lionsgate is now looking for more material, but you got other networks, too, you can work with. Of course, you have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and so on. It's
sure.
Like greenlighting projects.
Yeah.
So what direction are you looking like to taking?
I'm looking at quite a lot of new projects right now. Big world building is just such fun. So I don't want to do something that is too domestic, but stuff that is on a much bigger scale where you can create these huge worlds, I think is really exciting. But it's always just about the material or the idea. I don't think there's a specific wish list. I'd love to do something with a bit more comedy in it. I was the lead writer for a couple of seasons on the UK version of Shameless, and I think that's a tone that I really miss. And I'd love to be able to roll up my sleeves and get back into something that's quite subversive and irreverent and comedic. But, you know, every project is different. And I think you just fall in love with things for different reasons. So I would never rule anything out. You just have to respond to an individual thing.
In the meantime, The White Princess, new 8-episode miniseries, sequel to The White Queen of 3 or 4 years ago on Starz, and that's where you'll find it this Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Check your local listings where Starz is available in the area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program on the line, as well as the earlier miniseries, The White Queen, here's where you go, www.starz.com. It's www.starz.com. It's a network owned by Lionsgate. Once again, The White Princess, beginning episode 1, Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Emma Frost, the writer and showrunner on that series, thank you for joining us. All the very best with this series and your future TV efforts and that movie, possibly with Jennifer Lawrence. It's been a pleasure to have you aboard.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Emma. All the greatest. Take care.
Bye.
Emma Frost, writer and showrunner of The White Princess, coming to Starz Sunday night, joining us live from Los Angeles. And now it's time for our regular feature, the classic trivia question of the week. And if you are first with the correct answer this week, we have a nice prize for you. It's Inside 9/11, the acclaimed National Geographic Channel documentary called Exceptionally Powerful by the Wall Street Journal and Vision Compelled by the New York Times. We have it on DVD if you are the first to correctly answer this question. We told you earlier about Claire Danes, who just wrapped up season 6 of Homeland last night on Showtime, and she's also doing the audiobook from Audible.com, our wonderful sponsor of The Handmaid's Tale, which is becoming a Hulu miniseries later this month. Well, you know, of course, that Claire Danes got into the world of acting in a breakthrough way with a wonderful ABC series that didn't run too long, just a year, but it was brilliant, called My So-Called Life. And here's the question. In what city did My So-Called Life happen? In what city, that's the city, did My So-Called Life happen or take place? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you're first with the correct answer before our next episode Friday afternoon, you will win National Geographic's wonderful special, Inside 9/11. That was originally seen on the National Geographic Channel. And on the DVD, by the way, there's bonus features, including a Growing Up at Ground Zero segment and a Q key events, photography, timeline. So again, it's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And when you email, don't forget to enclose your name and your full mailing address. If you're first with the correct answer, Inside 9/11 is yours. If you just missed the question, no problem. I will post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and also on Twitter at this handle, at UBC Simon TWBT. At UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, be in and play. And we appreciate it. And all the very best. This is Tomorrow We Tell Live. We are the program about the world of the tomb. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you just came in on the program late, or you want to catch up on previous episodes we've had, goodness gracious, you can listen to them anytime you like. All you have to do is go to this homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And for those of you that have been asking in our chat room, yes, our program is recorded, and about an hour after we leave the air at 4:30 Eastern time, it will be posted on blogtalkradio.com/televised. I hope that answers that question. You can also check out the podcast version of the show. It's available 24/7 at iTunes.com. That's iTunes.com. And if you have Apple TV, you can check out the iTunes podcast app. Our program and other Blog Talk Radio shows are there for you 24/7. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. It's the Apple TV iTunes podcast app. We appreciate Apple TV for making us aboard along with other Blog Talk Radio shows. Incidentally, for those of you new to the program, I also do a program on Mondays called BK Live here in the New York area. It's on Brick TV. And earlier today, we had Sasha Weiss. He is the producer of an important documentary coming May 1st on HBO. It's called Warning, This Drug Can Kill You. It's about the opioid epidemic, and it is an epidemic. Try this out. About 100, that's like nearly 100 people die from opioid epidemics. And you can find out why May 1st on HBO. And it's also going to be running throughout May on HBO On Demand. It's video on demand, your local cable and satellite system, and other places as well. So check out our BK Live segment that will be popping up either the next day or two on Brick TV's YouTube page at youtube.com/BrickTV. That's www.youtube.com/BrickTV. All right. So in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Joey McIntyre, the former New Kids on the Block member, who's got a new sitcom, his first in that category, which he stars and also executive produces, called Return of the Mac. And that's going to be Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Pop Network after Hollywood Darlings, which will premiere a half hour earlier at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. So if you have a question or comment for Joey, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Incidentally, in addition to BK Live in this program, I also do columns online about this very medium called television. You'll find them at www.mediavillage.com, www.mediavillage.com. My latest column, which came out earlier today, is about AMC Networks and the new program that they're offering this fall to a showcase at a special event this past Thursday night here in Nueva York at Skylight Clarkson, which is over near the West Side Highway. It was a fantastic event. I had the chance to meet up close and personal Hank Azaria and Amanda Peet, the co-stars of Brockmire, which premiered this past Wednesday on IFC. I also had a chance to see Jennifer Caserta, the head of that network. Also, we had a chance to see Romeo from formerly Dancing with the Stars contestant, the son of Master P, who's involved with WeTV's Growing Up Hip Hop. And we also had one of the stars of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency going into its second season later this year on BBC America. So check out that column and others, Tomorrow Televised, and upfront news and views on MediaVillage.com. That's www.MediaVillage.com. Remember, we love hearing from you, so if you would like to be involved in the program, you can email me anytime at SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. And if there's a TV show that you like that you think doesn't get enough attention around the place, well, we'd like to give it that attention. We do a regular feature here called The Show to Know. So if there's a TV show you like that you want more attention for, let me know. If we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, get the credit. Once again, it's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. We love hearing from you because what you say matters. When we come back live from New York, Joey McIntyre of the new pop series Return of the Mac. He joins us live after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, the best best internet radio in the universe. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Tour Junkies. It's the only internet radio show we know of devoted to the growing sport of PGA fantasy golf. Check it out. Tour Junkies every week, various times right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best news show available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Robbie Televised, and welcome to those of you just joining us wherever you are at the top of the hour here on Blog Talk Radio. Simon Apple Bandwidth is live from New York, special 90-minute edition of the show coming your way. And if you have a question or comment for our next guest, give us a call at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. You also get involved with our chat room. It's located on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we have Ann Silva, Christina Brown 2, Rick Rowe from Philadelphia, Shannon Wilkins already in the room. So you can join them, put your questions or comments for our next guest that way. And if our next guest will give us a ring at that number, 646-652-2906, we will put that person on the air. We are awaiting Joey McIntyre, the former member of New Kids on the Block. And on Wednesday night, he has a new role, or new tune, you might say, to do, and that is being the star and executive producer of his very first sitcom. It's called Return of the Mac, and it's playing Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. on the Pop Network. Pop available throughout the country on cable and satellite, and it's one of two sitcoms that that network will premiere that night. The other is called Hollywood Darling at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. All right, everyone, here we go. Joining us live here in New York in an internet radio exclusive, Joey McIntyre. Hi, Joey. Joey, you're on. All right, hang on 1 second. Let's try it again. Let's see if we get him. Joey, are you there? Joey McIntyre, can you hear me? Are you there? All right, let's try one more time. Hang in, everybody. Let's see if we can get him. Let's give it a go. Joey McIntyre, are you there on the other end of the line? All right, Joey, if you can hear me, call it again, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906, and we will get you on the air ASAP. As I said, Joey McIntyre's first ever sitcom series is called Return of the Mac. It premieres Wednesday night, 8:30 Eastern Pacific Time on the Pop Network, along with another sitcom called Hollywood Darlings that premieres at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Let's see if Joey is now on the line. Joey, can you hear me? I'm hearing something at the other end of the line. Hello, Joey, are you there? All right, Joey just dropped off. Joey, call me back, 646-652-2906, and we will get you on the air. So hang in there, everybody in the chat room. I know you've been always, none of you have been waiting for Joey to come on. We'll get him on, no question about it. In the meantime, just to let you know, coming up Friday on Tomorrow Televised, actress Mia Maestro, you may remember her from Alias, and most recently The Strain on FX, or her breakthrough role 19 years ago in the Oscar-nominated foreign language movie Tango. She will be with us live, and right now she is in Buenos Aires, Argentina, working on a special report for the new series Outpost, which is being presented in English on Fusion TV and in Spanish on Unimas, both on Sunday night. Mia Maestro will join us live this Friday, Good Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Again, we want to appreciate everybody's patience. We're getting Joey on the air. Joey, if you hear me, give us the ring, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see that you're up and running, we will get you on the air. For those of you tuning us in, this is the program All About Television. We are usually here Mondays and Fridays from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. It's our 10th year on the air, so we're delighted to have you aboard. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program with your phone calls and your chat room reaction. And incidentally, you can check us out on our homepage anytime you like. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our recent episodes. Some of our recent guests include, for example, Danielle Noway-Truitt. She is the star of BET's new breakout hit, Rebel, with John Singleton overseeing that project. It's on this coming tomorrow, Tuesday night. We had Elizabeth Stanton, the co-star executive producer of This Just In, another show on Pop Network, by the way. It's on Saturday mornings at 10:30 Eastern Pacific Time. Just was nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award for Outstanding Children and Family Viewing Series. We had the author of The Candies After Camelot, named to the recent miniseries by Real Channel, which wrapped up last night. We had the executive producer of 13 Reasons Why, the Netflix series co-executive produced by Selena Gomez. And Anthony Hemingway was on our show this past Friday, the director executive producer of American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, was nominated for an Emmy Award for an episode of that show last year, and now doing Underground, which this Wednesday has a very special episode with Aisha Hines' one-on-one performance as the founder of the Underground Railroad, Harriet Tubman. That's on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on WGN America. Again, we are waiting Joy McIntyre, and I understand that from Ann Silva, yes, he probably has some connection issues. We're trying to get him on. And as soon as we find out that he is on, we will put him on the air and give him all of you so you can phone in and chat room in your questions and comments for him. And his new series, Return to the Mac, which is coming up Wednesday night at 8:30 Eastern Pacific Time on the Pop Network. And again, it's one of two series that Pop is premiering that night. The other one is called Hollywood Dollars, also a sitcom, and that's also on at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. So it's a double sitcom hour on Pop Network starting this coming Wednesday night. Again, we are waiting for Joy McIntyre to redial us in at 646-652-2906. And once again, everyone, thank you for being patient. Apologize for what seems to be a technical connection breakdown. We're not sure whether it's on my end or it's on Joey's end or somewhere in between with Blog Talk Radio or with our internet provider. Charter Spectrum that I'm on through them, through all of you. And we're going to try to get this fixed as soon as possible. So, Joey, give us a try. Call in 646-652-2906. And as soon as you do, we will get him on. We did have a soundtrack with somebody representing him before the program started, and the line worked well. So I'm a little bit puzzled as to why the line is not working, or at least did not work the first or second time out. But we will see if we can try to get him. I'm just pausing the voice for a second, get a little settled, and let's see if Joey will call. And I'll tell you what, while we wait for Joey to redial, let's since we have the time, let's give you the classic trivia question of the week again for those of you who missed it in the last half hour. Our prize this week is the acclaimed National Geographic program Inside 9/11 on DVD with bonus features including Growing Up at Ground Zero and a key event photo timeline. This can be yours if you know the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Claire Danes, who is narrating The Handmaid's Tale in audiobook fashion at audible.com, and just wrapped up a sixth season of her series Homeland last night on Showtime. Her first, of course, breakthrough in television entertainment was the star of the wonderful series on ABC, My So-Called Life. Lasted a year, was created by Winnie Holtzman, involved people from 30-something, the tremendous show. So our contributing question is this. In what city did My So-Called Life happen? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and we'll take it from there. And now, we believe, joining us live from New York, Joey McIntyre. Hi, Joey, we hear you.
Hey, man. Sorry I'm a little late on the call, bro.
But you are here, and that is important. What's it been like for you to put this new direction of your career together for Pop?
It's sort of a new direction. I mean, I've been lucky enough to do a lot of different things in my life, but I've never produced and created a TV show. So that was a fun, new, very challenging thing, but I'm happy with what we ended up with.
Why do you think this was the time? You know, of all the things you could do, why now the time to create?
Why now? The quick answer is I was on a show on CBS that got canceled and I needed a new job. So that's one reason. But, that's kind of what happened. I mean, I was on a series called The McCarthys on CBS. It didn't run for very long, but it was an amazing experience. And then I just wanted to keep it going. And I was with Donnie at this industry thing, and there were a lot of new shows. And I said, man, I have this seed of an idea. And Donnie Wahlberg and his wife, Jenny McCarthy, who are now executive producers on the show, introduced me to Paul Greenberg. And Paul Greenberg's a great writer, and the two of us ended up co-creating this TV show.
By the way, Ann Silva is in our chat room, SimonApple04 my name, and says to you that, and while she's fanning herself, that she loves you in your work and in the McCarthys. So it's Sharon Wilkins also in our chat room, and that your character of Gerard just cracked her up. And says, oh, my God, yes. That's in our chat room. By the way, if you're listening to the show, you want to put your thoughts in the chat room, go right ahead. SimonApple04 by name. A lot of people in the room already. But for you, how important was it not just to star in this sitcom, but also produce it, really have some level of creative control?
I guess it's been important. For better or for worse, I've always wanted to kind of get my hands dirty into projects with my music and making records. You know, I've usually started them independently, and then they'd be picked up by labels and record companies. But this is a little bit different because when you're dealing with network TV, you know, there's – you're not doing it alone, you know, and you got to compromise. And obviously it's a great benefit to have Pop TV and CBS Studios. And it was, I felt like that was the growth that I got to experience, was working with people and being willing to compromise. And, I'm really happy we got to, you know, go through that process, but still be happy with the vision as well.
What is the vision of your series? What kind of character do you play, and who surrounds you?
Well, I guess I call it a version of, like, Curb meets Parenthood meets Episode. It's an exaggerated version of me in my life. You know, I had to put my ego aside and you know, do what's right for the show. So sometimes it gets a little crazy and outlandish, because the idea is we want to give people a good time and we want to make people laugh and get away from it all. So as far as the vision, I mean, it started with an idea of maybe behind the scenes of a talk show, but then when we start creating it and really putting it on paper, we had to give it a problem, you know what I mean? I mean, without a problem, you don't really have much to work with. So the problem was that I want to be a serious actor. I want to get better jobs. I want to get better gigs. But sometimes you have to say yes when you want to say no. I think that's the crux of it, is that, and I hope people relate to the fact that no matter what you do for work and in life, sometimes you have to take the gig in hopes that it'll lead to bigger and better things. And, you know, sometimes that goes well and sometimes that doesn't. And that's kind of what the show talks about.
And so in our chat room, I wanted to know if you have any plans to live tweet during the premiere Wednesday night.
I think so. I don't know where I'm going to be, but I think I'm going to make that happen, and definitely going to make it a priority for the next episodes. This week I'm traveling with doing press for the show and trying to let everybody know about it, but I think I'm going to fit it in, so be on the lookout for it.
So you're this reluctant talk show host, excuse me, and you're part of a cable network called the Comfy Channel?
The Comfy Channel, yes.
That's an interesting name for a network.
Yeah, well, we kind of poke fun at there's so many crazy channels out there now, and we the Comfy Channel is sort of they don't have all their ducks in the row. They're not really great. They're headed up. The head of the network is kind of losing it a little bit. You know, we have fun with some industry inside stuff, but I think people will get a kick out of it.
We are speaking with Joey McIntyre, the former New Kids on the Block member, who with help from his other members is now becoming a sitcom star and producer on his own. And he is doing Return of the Mac. It's the new pop sitcom that's premiering this Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. He's live with us from New York this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Just wanted to show forward with us on this Monday afternoon, kicking off your week with us. By the way, to all Jewish listeners, a very happy start to your Passover season tonight. at sundown. If you have a question or comment for Joey, go give us a call, 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Or go to our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name, and Silva is in the room, Christina Brown 2 is in the room, Shannon Wolf is in the room, Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is still in the room, and we'd love to hear from them or from you. Remember, coming up in a week from Friday here on Tomorrow Televised, National Geographic is their first ever scripted series under the tutelage of Ron Howard and Brian Grazer. And imagine, it's called Genius. It will be a yearly anthology series. And we've got the writer and co-executive producer of that project, Noah Pink. Also, we'll meet a very interesting entrepreneur out of Los Angeles. She runs one of the biggest independent breweries in that part of the nation. It's called Golden Road, and now she's the host of a new series on Viceland called Beerland. It premieres the last week of this month. Meg Gill. I had a chance to see her in person last week. I think you'll enjoy meeting her and seeing her travels to find the most interesting craft beer makers around the country, taking Los Angeles for a very big prize. That's Meg Gill from Viceland's new Beerland, and Noah Pink from Genius on National Graphic. That's a week of Friday, April 21st. Usual time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. Joey, you already have a call. Let's take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Christina, and I'm calling from Tampa.
Christine, glad to have you with us. You're on the line with Joey. Go ahead.
Hey.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm okay.
I just want to tell you that. I'm good. I just want to tell you that the previews are so funny for the show, and it looks really, really good. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, good. Thank you. It's nice to have people finally get a piece of it and check it out. And, we have a certain sense of humor and a certain point of view, and it's nice that people are kind of, getting what we're putting out there.
I think it's going to be awesome, and I'm spreading the word with, friends that aren't New Kids fans, and I'm getting, good feedback for it, so
yay.
If that's any validation.
Yes. Keep doing it. Thank you.
I will, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in July and see you in Tampa and Hollywood.
Amazing. So what city, Tampa and who?
Tampa and Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Well, thank you for all your support, and keep pushing it, and I think hopefully you'll be like the cool chick who knew about the cool new show when everybody loved it. You'll be a tastemaker.
Definitely.
I won't let you down.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, I'll
Bye.
See you soon.
You're welcome, Christina.
Bye.
Thank you for the call. It's a pleasure.
Bye.
Christina from Tampa joining us here on Tomorrow We Televised. How much of the show, or actually your character as a talk show host, influenced by either talk shows you've done or being around the TV scene? How much of those experiences figure into the plot of the show?
A little bit. I mean, we don't actually. I mean, it's more about we spend more time building the show up. So I don't really play a host yet, but I mean, to answer your question, I think, these talk shows, they have to come up with lots of shows every day with lots of guests, and it takes a lot of work. And so, it ends up being you kind of, after a while, you got to go for the craziest stories and the weirdest storylines. And, so we kind of have some fun with that for sure.
Do you also deal with the idea that now more and more of the talk shows like Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show or Jimmy Kimmel Live or Colbert's Late Show or Conan now have the celebrities not just come and talk about a project or what they're up to, but also play a game? We've seen shows with things like Drop the Mic, Lip Sync Battle now become their own shows.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on who it's making. I think Jimmy Fallon has done a magnificent job with kind of making that show his own and making it cool again in his own way. When you have a hit show, you get the best writers in the world wanting to write on that show, and the best writers have the best ideas, and it's not surprising that they kind of have these spinoffs now.
Mm-hmm. And one of those spin-offs, by the way, coming up through Apple, and maybe Apple TV, is Carpool Karaoke, based on the feature with James Corden on The Late Late Show. Have you and your new kid castmates or bandmates been approached by Corden's people to maybe do a Carpool Karaoke of some sort?
We did. We almost, well, the new kids were on Corden, I think about a month ago. We debuted our new single, One More Night, and we were almost going to fit in the Carpool Karaoke, but the schedules didn't lock up. So I think we might be able to do that soon.
And we will see. All right, Joey, you have another call. Let's take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Ann. I'm calling from Rhode Island. I'm a big Joe fan. He might know who I am. Joe, I just want to say I friggin' love you. You tweeted me back a few times, and I literally freaked out.
Oh, thank you.
We had a special moment at Mohegan Sun 3 years ago. I don't know if you remember. I'm the one that made you the scrapbook.
Oh, nice. And what was the scrapbook about? Just everything? Or
it was you running your first Boston Marathon.
I thought so. I thought you were going to say that. Yeah. I remember that well. Because it's, it's Marathon Monday, actually, in Boston right now, today. So.
Yep.
I've been thinking about that, and I remember that book, and I just remember the memories, and in some ways I'm like, oh, I thought of my blog, because I did the blog on Tumblr, and I was like, well, maybe I should, like, make a book, and then I thought of, I thought of, like, what you did, and I thought, well, it's already been made, really, so, yeah, I appreciate that, and it really means a lot to me, like, when we do things outside the group and the fans step up about, you know, for great causes like the Alzheimer's Association or, you know, Remember Betty to fight cancer. And we're very lucky to, you know, to kind of, you know, put stuff out there and have all the New Kids fans really step up the way they always do. So thank you.
And I just want to let you know, I'm meeting you again July 6th at Mohegan Sun, and I have an upgrade, so I can't wait.
Oh, awesome. Well, I hope it's I hope we, you know, fit the bill and make it worth your while.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love my profile picture with you. We had the prom post.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for that.
And what part of Rhode Island are you from? What city?
I'm calling from Rhode Island. And also, before I forget, I'm having a viewing party on Wednesday with a couple of friends, and I'm getting a cake made tomorrow for Return of the Mac.
Oh, you're the best. Well, hopefully it's the first of many. And I think you'll have fun watching the show. We'll keep sharing throughout the season.
Thank you. I love you, Joe.
Okay, I love you, too. Thank you.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for calling and thanks for being in the chat room. We really appreciate it. And spread the word about our show, too, to all the folks in Rhode Island. Got a few more minutes with Joey McIntyre, whose new sitcom, Return of the Mac, premieres Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Pop Network. He is not only the star, he is also the executive producer. So if you have a question or comment, bring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple049. Thanking everybody who's been in the chat room so far, some of which have called. We really do appreciate it. Remember, coming up on our show Friday, for Good Friday, it's me and my ex-co. The actress is also a singer-songwriter, I might add, by the way. Her TV work includes being opposite Jennifer Garner on Alias, also first 2 seasons of The Strain on FX, and now she's doing Outpost as a unique guest correspondent looking at the entrepreneur scene in her hometown of Buenos Aires, Argentina. Believe it or not, 19 years ago, Mia came on the scene as the star of the Oscar-nominated foreign-language movie, Tango. Saw that film, loved that film, great score by Lalo Schifrin. I thought that should have been up for an Oscar for the score. But Mia will join us, and she'll be with us live Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. The new work, by the way, is on the new TV magazine series, Outpost, which is on Sunday nights on Fusion TV in English, Unimas from Univision in Spanish. Joey, how do you want this series to go? You know, not just this season, but beyond. If Pop Kids is the second season.
I want my. This is the bar I've set. I want people to walk away from this show thinking, I don't want that 30 minutes back in my life. That's all I'm going for. As long as people don't go, wow, I wish I had that 30 minutes back. I think I'm starting small and then we'll see. I mean, the cool thing is I think we have a lot of freedom in places we can go with the storylines of each season if we get to do another one and another one. So there's some freedom there, which is nice. We're not, like, stuck into one form or one storyline or – you know, one genre. So I'm looking forward to that. It's nice to have some flexibility. And we'll see, man. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people trying to make TV shows, and we're lucky that we were able to make one, and hopefully people will dig it, and we'll keep doing it.
And we have a minute left. So what kind of contribution has your fellow executive producer, Jenny McCarthy, made, who has done more than one sitcom of her own over the years?
Sure. Well, she and Donnie were super supportive. I mean, they were perfect executive producers. They were there when I needed them, and when I didn't, they just kind of let me do my thing, which is awesome. And then they were nice enough to fit in their schedule to be on every episode, so which is no small feat considering how busy they both are. So that was really cool. And really can't say enough about that. She was super sweet, and she's been sweet from, you know, and really warm since I met her, you know, a couple of years ago when she and Donnie were first dating. And I know how happy he makes her and how happy she makes him. So, and I'm glad we get along, you know, I'm glad because I'm going to know her for hopefully the rest of my life. And it's been really nice.
Joey McIntyre makes his debut as both star and executive producer of Return of the Mac. It's the new pop sitcom. It premieres Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, right after the premiere of another sitcom, so it's the four-hour block, Hollywood Calling, at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your locals where Pop Network is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the network online, www.poptv.com. It's www.poptv.com. Pop TV is co-owned by both CBS and Lionsgate. Joey, it's an honor to have you on this program. All the very best of the series. Hopefully, the game a long run. We'd love to have you back on anytime you like. Thank you for making the time. It's been a great pleasure all the way.
Thanks a lot, man. It's very, very exciting, and thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. Anytime. Take care.
Bye.
Joey McIntyre, former New Kids on the Block member, now star executive producer, Return of the Mac, Wednesday night, 8:30 on Pop TV, joining us live here in New York. Thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to all of you on the chat line. We had a couple of callers to try to get in. Apologize we couldn't get them in, but we really appreciate all of you being aboard. Don't forget, Friday, Good Friday, me and Maestro among our guests right here, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, on Tomorrow We Televise. If you came in on the show late, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. Check out the podcast on iTunes.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter as well, UBC Simon. DWBT. Remember, love hearing from you because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program, those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Amy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sutter, executive content producer, co-founders Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Tell is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Over the way, you hear the world. But Tomorrow We Tell Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your week. Happy Passover to all of our Jewish listeners. We're all back with you Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, with me and Maestro. You know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.